This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. There have been some fluctuations in some of the livestock markets recently. Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions explains what we've been witnessing.
As we look at the live cattle market, what a roller coaster ride that it has been. We have found some stability right around the $140 mark for live cattle, and that has still left the packers with negative margins, probably losing about $110 to $115 per head, but they're still paying up in order to try to maintain their market share. Box beef prices have dropped considerably compared to the gains that they saw in the 4 weeks after Christmas. We have seen those box beef prices come back down 60 to 70% of what they gained during that period in early January. And the good news is that drop in prices has brought back demand. We've seen a good recovery in product movement. When we look at the pork complex, overall, we continue to be well-balanced with supply and demand, largely because of heavy carcass weights near record levels have really helped supply the industry. But we are starting to see some of the early signs of the PED virus that has impacted pig numbers. It's not having a big impact on the cash market yet, but we're starting to see those early signs. And we think that, and the trade thinks, that as we get into the spring, we're going to see much more significant impact on decreased numbers of market-ready hogs. And so that's, therefore, the April hog contract is trading about $10 above the cash market, with the trade expecting that the cash is going to go up to that level. I think they may be a little too aggressive, but overall, I think they're right in the direction we're going.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. We all know that lower corn prices will be affecting farmers this year, but it's also affecting machinery producers. Deere & Co. says its first quarter net income did rise almost 5%, but it's projected a slowdown in sales of farm equipment this year. High crop prices did put money into farmers' pockets and drove a boom in demand for equipment, but Deere says demand for farm equipment is moderating, and farm construction equipment sales will probably fall 3% this year and will fall 6% in the second quarter. Applications for Midwest Dairy Association scholarships and a summer internship with the organization are due March 1st. The $1,000 scholarships are offered to family members of dairy farmers in Illinois whose checkoff is directed to Midwest Dairy Association. The family must have an active dairy during 2014. The dairy producer, his or her spouse, children, or grandchildren are eligible, but awards are limited to one per family. The scholarships may apply to any college major or degree, and the student must be at a full-time accredited institution. The scholarship and internship details can be downloaded at MidwestDairyCheckoff.com in the About Us section. Yesterday, the University of Illinois Extension Office hosted an agronomy day at the Lincoln Lane Community College. Gary Letterly helped to put on the event. I had a chance to catch up with him and ask why he feels agronomy days like this one are important to members of the ag community.
Well, we've got a good turnout. We have between 85 and 100 participants. And I'd say that's about normal for our agronomy days that we've had in the past. The purpose of doing an agronomy day is to introduce the clientele of Extension and those stakeholders out here in production agriculture, give them a chance to hear from the researchers themselves and some of the PhD students that are emerging as professors in their career choice that are working on, emerging issues and challenges that are going to face farmers. And as we heard some things today, some that they're currently facing and really having a tough time dealing with. We've got speakers doing ag economics, Dr. Darrell Good, who you mentioned his name and people start coming in the door. He's so good on the fundamentals of production agriculture and the marketing aspect. And then we've also, to wrap up the program today, a person I've worked with for a number of years, Dr. Laura Gentry, who's working on sustainability of high-yielding corn and some of her research at the University of Illinois, to where she has been a leader in looking at different strategies to continue to have high-yielding corn for producers in Illinois, and her work continues through associations with Illinois corn growers and Illinois Corn Marketing Board. So she's a real asset to have, and those that did not make the program today, we'll try to post some of these presentations up on our University of Illinois Extension website, Unit 18, Christian Jersey, Montgomery, and Macoupin counties. So if you have trouble finding that, you can get a hold of me at the Taylorville office, 287-7246, or call one of your local extension offices.
Again, that was Gary Letterly with the University of Illinois Extension. One of the speakers at the Agronomy Day was Sarah Potts, who spoke on planting densities. We'll hear more from her after this break.
Long-term care can often mean long-term debt, but when you add the long-term care benefit option to a new whole life policy from Country Financial, you can withdraw the policy's death benefit while you're living to help pay nursing home or other qualified care expenses. Ask me, Wayne Schaefer, about our long-term care policies that offer even more protection. To find out more about long-term care coverage, contact me, Wayne Schaefer, your country agent in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
Haul to Jersey County Grain's Hardin River Terminal and you'll save fuel, time, and headache. You won't have to fight traffic or wait in line forever either. Barge shipping rates are low and their prices usually beat the competition. Call Jersey County Grain in Jerseyville or Hardin, or check their website for quotes at jerseycountygrain.com. You can also get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Just listen to David Brigeman, Macoupin County farmer, businessman, and Farm Bureau member.
After making trips to Washington, D.C., I've recognized the need to communicate to legislators what the needs in rural America are and the importance of agriculture in the American economy. My eyes have been open to such issues, which is why I've become an advocate for Farm Bureau.
The value? Legislative activities watching out for your interests. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about value. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Many farmers in the area probably plant their cornfields at a density somewhere around 32,000 plants per acre, but according to a study done by University of Illinois PhD student Sarah Potts, in the future we could see fields planting about 50,000 plants per acre. I spoke with her about her research.
Yes, well, basically we are looking at the correlation between corn genetics, the genotype basically, and what we see out in the field as a response to an increased planting density. So we planted our five trial locations at 47,000 plants per acre and then evaluated 30 different traits pertaining to plant density tolerance. And basically we are looking to see if there are certain genetic regions that are in common with the top yielding varieties. So if you have, say, five hybrids that do really great, what particularly, at least genetically, makes them great. So that's what we're looking for in our research.
So these plants are basically able to yield competitively with plants that are planted at a lower population density?
Yes, what's actually been found in the past is that when you grow plants from the 1930s all the way up to modern hybrids, that you don't really see a increase in yield over the different hybrids when they're planted at low density, which you would expect that if it was per plant yield that was increasing, that the plants at a very low density would have the ability to put out a nice ear. When you really see that yield increase is when you put the new hybrids at a high planting density. The old hybrids at a high plant density aren't very good yielders, but what you see is that the new hybrids really give you a yield boost, which indicates that you have that yield boost as a result of an increased tolerance to plant density, not necessarily an increased individual ear potential.
And if we're planting these plants at population densities of 47,000 or even higher than that, I imagine the plant is going to have to look a little bit different. And you touched a little bit on that in your presentation. So do you just want to go ahead and explain how the plant may have to look in order to adapt to these higher population densities?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've found is that there are quite a few different traits that are correlated with yield. One of them particularly is kernel length and kernel depth. So in general, you have a more narrow or a thin kernel and a longer kernel. That is correlated with yield. So, you know, your future high-density tolerant plants may have, you know, really thin but really long kernels. They also are going to have really require a smaller amount of leaf area to produce the grain that you're getting. Because what we found is that the more leaf area that it takes to get your plant yield, the less yield you're actually going to get back. And the same thing with all the leaf area to produce amount of grain. If you have a higher leaf area required for the grain, you're also going to get an increased number of plants that don't even produce an ear.
So what would you hope to see in the future, maybe 10 years down the road when driving through Illinois and looking at cornfields? Are you hoping to see higher densities in these different looking plants?
Absolutely. A lot of the companies that I know of are working on plant density tolerance as a component in their breeding programs. So I think probably what we're going to see is an increased planting density. Some of the materials that I'm working with are 20 years or older. And imagine if I get the yields that I'm getting right now with 20-year-old hybrids. When we integrate this research into new hybrids, I think we've got a lot of potential for really excelling at high planting densities.
When we're breeding for these high-density traits, is there a worry about leaving other traits behind, or is it still just an overall improvement to the plant?
Well, as far as breeding programs actually go, usually there's some kind of an index where you rate traits of importance. So I would say that while you're going to be certainly selecting for plant density tolerance traits, there are always going to be certain earmarked traits that you have to maintain. And so I imagine breeders will look for those traits that you have to maintain and keep those constant while they're also selecting for the improved traits for plant density tolerance.
All right, certainly sounds like some excitement happening in corn as far as plant density goes. And what were some of the highest densities that you were doing in your research trials?
So I planted my 5 locations at 47,000 plants per acre. The research study that preceded mine, immediately preceded my study, they planted at 6 different densities ranging from 19,000 plants, so that's a very low planting density, all the way up to 54,000. And even at 54,000 plants per acre, there were couple hybrids that didn't, it looked like they hadn't quite topped out yet. So, you know, the plant or your cornfield of the future may be in fields with upwards of 55,000 plants per acre. Who knows?
Again, that was Sarah Potts, PhD student at the University of Illinois. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.